State Republicans gathered in Milwaukee over the weekend for the annual Wisconsin GOP convention. The speakers, like Governor Scott Walker, discussed policy accomplishments, and the party nominated State Senator Leah Vukmir for the U.S. Senate race. There was a lot of discussion about whether there will be a blue wave of voting support for Democrats. We're getting highlights from the convention on this State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. WPR's Capitol reporter Laurel White covered the convention, and she joins us now here in the studio. Laurel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Well, the headliner at the convention, very much so, the big speech, was House Speaker Paul Ryan's farewell, and Ryan will be stepping down at the end of his term, not seeking re-election. Let's open this with a clip of Ryan's speech here at the convention.
I wasn't looking for the job as Speaker of the House. I actually had achieved the job I was looking for, Chairman of Ways and Means Committee. And out of a sense of duty, I took the job and believed that it had to be done, and I'm grateful for the opportunity. But I did it on basically two conditions. Number one, we as a party have got to stand for something. We have to have a plan. We have to be the proposition party, not just the opposition party. What I was worried about is, what if we win it all and we don't have a plan? I mean, we do not want to waste the first year of a brand new Republican presidency and a Republican Congress looking to see what to do then.
So, Laurel, Ryan there really calling earnestly for a plan. What did you take away from his speech?
Well, what I really took away from Ryan's speech is that he is very bullish, very positive about his time in Congress, obviously. He talked a lot about what he was able to accomplish before announcing that he's not going to seek re-election. You know, there have been a lot of critics of Paul Ryan and critics of Republicans who obviously control the White House, House and Senate in Washington, D.C., saying that they haven't been able to accomplish big pieces of President Trump's agenda that he campaigned on. And so it hasn't been an incredibly successful run for Republicans in Washington, D.C. since his election. But Paul Ryan really had the opposite perspective when he was speaking yesterday. He said, we've been able to pass, I believe he said, 500 bills out of the House. I wasn't able to fact check that yesterday, but we can say for sure that that's his talking point, that the House has passed a lot of legislation. He kind of pointed a finger at the Senate and said they haven't passed, of course, those 500 bills. But he was very positive. He talked about tax reform. He talked about rolling back some Obamacare regulations. So he was in very much review mode and positive mode yesterday.
So a lot of Wisconsin Republicans all in the same convention space, all in the same room over the weekend. What was the mood like?
So it was really interesting. This is my second Republican convention that I've covered. They get together and do this every year. And it was very different than the first year, because this year they had endorsements to make in important races. So they obviously endorsed in some races that don't have primary opponents. So governor and lieutenant governor, nobody's challenging Governor Scott Walker and Rebecca Clayfish on the Republican side. They endorsed Attorney General Brad Schimmel, who's a Republican, no other Republicans in that race. But what I thought was interesting was the energy in the room when they were deciding who to endorse in the Republican U.S. Senate race. And that's been a fascinating race to cover. That's where Leah Vukmir, who is a state senator, is running against Kevin Nicholson, who's a former Marine and, interestingly, also a former Democrat, which was a big subject at the convention over the weekend. And I got to witness that the tallying of the delegates' votes and everything like that. So that was a unique experience. And I think that there was definitely an energy in the room. Interestingly, too, there was a lot of talk, as you mentioned before, of the blue wave.
Yeah.
So you had that energy of choosing some candidates, of being excited about those candidates, but also there was this defensive posture of, we have this thing that we really need to look out for in November that we need to be aware of and kind of aggressive about.
Well, interesting, too, that with State Senator Leah Vukmir's nomination, it was Reince Priebus who stepped up and was the first. Explain that moment there, the first cast, the first vote or the nominating.
Right. So what happens for the nominations at the convention is that they have somebody come up and speak, and they say, I would like to nominate so-and-so for the endorsement of the state Republican Party. And then another person comes up and seconds that, and they give little speeches. And so I honestly can't remember who the first person was that nominated Leah Vukmir, but the second person to speak to second her nomination was former White House Chief of Staff Reince Priebus, who's also chaired the Republican Party of Wisconsin. And I don't know if anyone else knew that he was coming, but I did not. So it was interesting because, you know, they always have kind of pump up music before these speakers come out at conventions. That's the big thing that they do.
Yeah.
But it was very... da-da-da-da, Reince Priebus. And so, you know, he's a big figure in Wisconsin Republican politics. So to have his endorsement, have him come out and speak for Leah Vukmir seemed like a big deal at the convention.
We'll get more into Leah Vukmir in a moment. But going back to Paul Ryan, he told reporters he was confident in his party's chances in the November midterms. What was Paul Ryan's take on Republicans heading into the midterms?
So he did say that he's feeling very optimistic. He said that he's almost positive that Republicans are going to be able to hang on to his seat in the first congressional district. He hasn't made an official endorsement in that race yet for a Republican running to take his seat. But he said he's feeling pretty good about that staying in Republican hands. He talked about the districts that are a little bit more difficult for Republicans in the fall, kind of those swing districts. And he said that he believes that they have some of their, quote, best and brightest in those districts. So he's confident that, you know, if those races are going to be tight, which he acknowledges they could be tough, he has confidence that Republicans are going to be able to hang on to those seats in November.
We're talking right now with Laurel White. She covers the state capitol for Wisconsin Public Radio. You can join in about the Wisconsin State GOP convention. Did you go? 800-642-1234. Do you agree with the GOP's endorsement of State Senator Leah Vukmir for Senate? Or do you prefer Kevin Nicholson or another candidate? Do you plan on voting in the GOP primary? What do you think of House Speaker Paul Ryan's decision to step down, not seek re-election? Why do you think he made these decisions? 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@wpr.org. So, Laurel, another prominent speaker at the convention, of course, Governor Scott Walker, there making a speech. And perhaps a contrast to Paul Ryan's optimism, it was Governor Walker perhaps being good cop, bad cop here. He continued to warn of this blue wave in November. So what was some of the sentiment from his speech?
So that was the big sentiment of Governor Walker's speech, was warning of that blue wave. And he used some language that's now become pretty familiar to hear from him in the past several months. He first used it in January when a Democrat won in a state Senate special election in a district that President Trump had won by double digits in 2016. The governor said, the night of that election, we need to wake up. So here's a clip from Governor Scott Walker.
I don't believe we have that clip of Governor Walker.
Well, I can recreate it.
Please do.
So basically what he said was, we need to wake up, Wisconsin Republicans. We need to be aggressive coming to the, he didn't use the word aggressive, but he said, we need to come into this election knowing what the stakes are. And a big part of his speech was outlining things that he has really championed in the state legislature since his election. And so he listed all of those things, like Wisconsin's right to work laws, Wisconsin's voter ID law, tax breaks for manufacturers, legislation to do with concealed carry of guns, abortion, things like that. So he kind of went through, and in that way that, you know, political speeches can be, he would kind of say, you know, Wisconsin's voter ID law, and then get the crowd to say, gone. So it was a very, you know, kind of back and forth. So it was very much a focus of, these are the things that we've done that are positive, but they could all go away if Republicans don't maintain a majority in the state legislature, which of course they have right now, and don't hang on to the governor's office in the fall.
So he's saying all this work that's happened since 2011 could be in jeopardy if if this blue wave actually happens.
Right, exactly.
We're talking with Laurel White here on the State Capitol Report. And we're looking at the state GOP convention that was held over the weekend in Milwaukee. The party voted overwhelmingly on Saturday to endorse State Senator Leah Vukmir to take on Senator Tammy Baldwin. But she'll still need to compete in a primary in August against Kevin Nicholson. We're combing through the speeches with Laurel White. Your questions and thoughts are welcome at 800-642-1234. Do you agree with the GOP's endorsement of State Senator Leah Vukmir for Senate? Do you plan on voting in the GOP primary? Who will you vote for? Does the GOP endorsement sway your vote at all? You can call in at 800-642-1234. Tweet us, WPR Mornings. We'll pick up the conversation after a news update on the Ideas Network. You're with us on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We're getting up to speed on the developments over the weekend at the state GOP convention that was held in Milwaukee. In Governor Walker's speech, along with other GOP officials, the sentiment was to mobilize the base quickly, lest all the work that's been done since Republicans took control of the state capitol in 2011 may be in jeopardy. WPR's Laurel White stays with us for the recap, getting your thoughts as well at 800-642-1234. Do you think there is going to be a blue wave in the midterm election? Are Governor Walker's warnings justified, or do Republicans have nothing to worry about? Are these concerns overblown? Call in at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Laurel, let's talk a little bit more about State Senator Leah Vukmir here. Delegates at the convention voted overwhelmingly to endorse her in the U.S. Senate race against Tammy Baldwin. Let's take a listen.
I'm just pointing out the history where we've had a knockdown, drag-out primary.
Sorry, let's listen to Leah Vukmir here.
If we're going to beat Tammy Baldwin, we are going to need a strong conservative. We are going to need someone who is going to hold her feet to the fire.
Was there a lot of energy in her speech?
There was. So I think you can hear a little bit of that there. What Leah Vukmir was really pushing in her speech was the fact that she is, quote, a fighter. So she called herself a fighter multiple times. She called herself an underdog, scrappy. So she was really saying, I'm a tried and true, I'm a tested conservative who has been in the state legislature for a while and has had some tough battles. So she was first elected to the state assembly in 2002, I believe, and then later to the state senate. So she's been around for things like Act 10, and one of her campaign ads uses footage of Act 10 protesters and her kind of moving through the crowd as a sort of in the same way that Governor Walker did with his unintimidated book, was saying, you know, the protesters didn't throw me off, didn't make me question my conviction. I knew what I was doing was right. So she talked about that. She talked about her history of being a very pro-life voter in the state legislature. And she said, I'm going to take the Wisconsin way of doing things to Washington, D.C. We've accomplished these conservative reforms here, and I can do that on a national level for Wisconsinites in D.C.
And she seems to have deep ties to Governor Walker.
She does. So the governor hasn't officially endorsed in this U.S. Senate race, the Republican primary, but his son is working for Leah Vukmir's campaign. His wife, I believe, has endorsed Vukmir.
Walker.
Walker.
Yeah.
So there are some close Walker family ties to Vukmir's campaign. And as I mentioned before, Ryan Priebus spoke on her behalf at the convention this weekend.
So there seems to be a comfort level with establishment Republicans about having State Senator Leah Vukmir go up against Tammy Baldwin.
That's right. I mean, I think that they see her as somebody, again, that's that kind of the line of a tried and true conservative from Wisconsin. They certainly know her well. She has been around for quite a while. And so they've been able to count on her for votes. But that's something that her opponent certainly is using against her. He's kind of trying to paint her as a insider, as part of the Republican Party establishment in Wisconsin. So what one side of the debate sees as a strong point, that we know her, we know what she stands for, we know we can count on her, the other side is saying, well, it's the same old, same old.
Let's bring in another voice here, U.S. Senator Ron Johnson, talking about the primaries, which take place in August. Let's take a listen.
I'm just pointing out the history where we've had a knockdown, dragout primary. The results haven't been all that good versus in my case where I surprised myself and everybody else by getting that endorsement. That really paved the way for a election victory in November. So this is, from my standpoint, it's not about individuals. It's about, you know, us making sure that Tammy Baldwin's a one-term senator.
So really wanting to make sure Republicans are all on the same page here. This is not going to be about negative advertising, on Republican on a Republican. So really wanting to change the conversation.
That's right. So Ron Johnson has been a strong advocate of having what he calls a general election race in the primary. He wants it really to be focused on Tammy Baldwin, not on the, you know, your Republican opponent. Republicans have had a history of, as Democrats have as well, of course, of having rough primaries where you beat up on each other, and then you get to the general election and there's all this kind of ammunition that's been used against you, and these allegations and accusations that carry with you into the general that can hurt a candidate as they're faced with a wider electorate. So Ron Johnson, he actually had the two GOP U.S. Senate candidates sign what he called a unity pledge that said, you know, not only are they going to conduct themselves a certain way during this primary, but that they would agree to endorse the eventual nominee. So if they didn't win the nomination, that they would stand behind the other candidate as they move into the general election.
Well, before we talk further about Vukmir's challenger, Kevin Nicholson, let's bring in a call here with Mark in Wauwatosa. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Go ahead.
So I would say that Scott Walker's comments about a blue wave are warranted because, historically speaking, the party in power, especially at the national level when you deal with the presidency, tend to lose seats in a midterm election. However, that being said, I feel that the Democrats have a good deal of work that they need to do in order to get it together to provide as significant of a challenge and blue wave that they could create as possible.
So Mark is saying here, Laurel, history will tell us X, but he's also saying Democrats have their work cut out for them.
That's right. So he's very correct in that conventional wisdom tells us that the party that isn't in power is going to do well in a midterm election. But Republicans do have a number of things going for them in that the economy is doing well. The Wisconsin unemployment rate is at historic, you know, record lows. So Democrats don't have those things to point to and to run on. They do have the advantage of being kind of that energetic opposition party of the sort of throw the bums out kind of message, which can be a little bit more energizing to voters than look at our accomplishments and let us keep doing what we're doing. So it's an interesting dynamic in the race, certainly. Republicans are on that defensive warning of the blue wave, and Democrats are trying to rally and remind people that these are the, if you don't like what's being done, we need to get some fresh people in power.
And looking at the August 14th primary, any sense in the gubernatorial race that we'll see the whittling down of Democrats who are really going head to head?
It's really hard to say. This Democratic primary is so interesting because it's a larger Democratic field than we've seen in a very long time, if not ever, in the governor's race. And so normally what you see when you have a slightly smaller field is people start dropping out before the primary for a number of reasons. It could be they haven't been fundraising as well. It could be some endorsements are coming in that are not falling in their favor. But because the field is so large, a lot of people have been challenged to fundraise at a certain level because either large donors are sitting out or the money's getting split. A lot of large personalities in Democratic politics in Wisconsin are declining to make an endorsement. We heard just a couple weeks ago that U.S. Congressman Mark Pocan, who is, of course, a Democrat and the chair of the Progressive Caucus in D.C., said he's not going to endorse as of right now. So, yeah, I think in the past we've seen people drop out before the primary, but we might not see that this year. We might have 9-10 candidates on the ballot in August, and then from August until November have the winner, the one person left who's maybe gotten something as small as 20% of the vote, going out and figuring out how to run a campaign against the governor at that point.
And State Senator Leah Vukmir, her work isn't done yet, as she has to also be competing in the August 14th primary. Her challenger, Kevin Nicholson, downplayed the importance of the endorsement over the weekend and criticized Vukmir for being an establishment candidate. Here's Nicholson speaking at the convention.
I will fight against the Washington establishment and the practices of the Senate that actually stop progress. We should not continue to work inside the norms of a broken system. We need to stop the carve-outs, the giveaways, the handouts, the bailouts. We need to be free of a system built by insiders to benefit themselves.
All right, so Nicholson there really making a case for himself and for the vision for America. Where does Nicholson fit into this picture here?
So Nicholson is an interesting political figure. He was the head of a national college Democrats group back when he was in college. He talks a lot about how his family are Democrats, and so he wasn't raised to be a Republican, but he's come to it on his own through life experience, his service in the military, having a family, things like that. So he brings in kind of this outsider's perspective, and that he says, I'm going to be able to appeal to a number of voters, maybe not people who have identified as Republicans, or maybe people who don't really identify as anything, more independents in this race. And so he's pushed back on Leah Vukmir as the establishment Republican candidate, sort of that common business as usual language that you hear from political candidates. He's saying, if we elect her, we're going to be getting the same. And if I come in, I'm going to bring this sort of pragmatic, realistic, really genuine, because I came to this on my own, perspective. And he has also questioned the importance, I guess, of the state party endorsement. He said after the vote, so the vote, once it came up from the delegates, it was 73% of delegates for Leah Vukmir and just 27% for Kevin Nicholson. So it wasn't terribly close. And after the vote happened and those tallies were up, his campaign spokesman came out and said, you know, we weren't really working for this endorsement anyway. That was never our goal. And so we're going to go back out and campaign with the people of Wisconsin. And the only vote that really matters to us is the one in August.
Well, particularly with a president who pushes draining the swamp and other anti-insider rhetoric, is Nicholson, you know, kind of playing to that as well?
I think that's what he's going for. He's talking about bringing this new perspective to Washington, and he has also said that he won't serve more than two terms if he's elected. In his speech, actually, on Saturday, he said, I would serve one term if that's what people want me to do. He talked about the personalities that politicians have, or sort of the importance that they give to themselves once they're in office. He talked about kind of marble corner offices and things like that, how it becomes a little bit more about the position than the pragmatism, more about who you are than what you can do for the people of Wisconsin. And he said he's not going to be that kind of representative if he's elected.
We're talking with Laurel White on this edition of the State Capitol Report, recapping the GOP convention over the weekend. How do you react to candidates' anti-establishment messages and candidates who say they're the outsider who can change Washington? Does that resonate? 800-642-1234. You can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Let's go to Colleen waiting in Green Bay. Hi, Colleen.
Good morning. I just had a comment. I noticed that delegates at the convention this weekend voted to end same-day voter registration, and then also called for the elimination of college students to be able to register and vote at their college address. Our own elections agency did a report on eliminating same-day registration, and it would cost $13 million to do so. So in a time where we're struggling to find money for our schools and roads, it's really irresponsible of the Republican Party to be calling to spend money on eliminating something that increases voter participation. And I'll take my comments off air. Thank you.
Colleen, thank you. Laurel, what do we know about this?
So what Colleen's talking about there is delegates vote on the Republican Party platform in the state of Wisconsin. So that's another thing that happens at the convention. After the endorsements votes are taken and all the speeches are given, all of the delegates are able to review the party platform that's been put together by the platform committee. They have a little bit of debate, a little bit of back and forth, and they decide what things they want to put in it and what things they want to leave out. It's sort of the mission statement of the state party. So those things were included. It doesn't necessarily mean that there is going to be legislation to that effect. It's not introducing bills or anything like that. It's kind of like a mission statement. It's a guideline, I think, for the Republicans that are in office. And the things to do with voter registration that Colleen was mentioning are pretty much in line with what Republicans have been pushing for in the state legislature, and they argue that those measures help encourage voter integrity, that they allow people to be more confident that when they're going to the polls that there isn't voter fraud, that there aren't things going on that shouldn't be. So, you know, that's been a big push for Republicans in Wisconsin. So that's a continuation of that.
So these are platforms. Mm-hmm. This is not legislation, active legislation.
Right. It's sort of like the budget that the president puts out. It's a guideline document, not a not set in stone.
Well, as you walk away from this convention, did you see the ability for GOP officials, whether in office or pursuing office, did you see the mission? Was there cohesiveness walking away from the convention?
I think that that's something that they were certainly trying to push, was a message that we are the Republican Party of Wisconsin. These are our goals. These are the things that we've accomplished. It was very much a focus on, look at what we've done since we've come into power over the past several years. And if you're on board with the number of things that we have done, providing tax incentive for businesses, supporting gun rights in the state of Wisconsin, pro-life legislation, then you want to keep us in power in the state capitol, and you want to keep the majorities that we have in the state capitol. Because, of course, Republicans have historic majorities in the state assembly and Senate. So they have been able to pass a number of bills that have been pretty high on their wish list for a while.
And as we start to wrap up here, when is the Democratic convention? What are we watching for there?
So the Democratic convention is the first weekend in June, and our Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson is going to be covering that for us. And that should be a fascinating convention because, of course, we have a rather large field of Democrats running for the governor's office. So we'll be able to see some of the dynamics there, the way the crowd reacts to different candidates, and what the messages that they're pushing are in front of their base in the lead up to the August election.
Well, Laurel, thank you so much for coming in.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is WPR State Capitol reporter. Follow her on Twitter at LK White. She's been giving us highlights of the GOP state convention that was held over the weekend in Milwaukee. Coming up, deer farmers say they're worried new rules announced by Governor Walker to contain chronic wasting disease won't work, and they may even put them out of business. We'll learn what's at stake after this news update right here on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. You're listening to the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Governor Scott Walker has said that he's open to having the state help pay deer farmers for additional fencing required under proposal to combat chronic wasting disease. We're looking at what new emergency rules would mean to this industry. WPR's reporter based in Eau Claire, Rich Kramer, has been covering the developments, and he joins us now from Eau Claire. Rich, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Well, can you start by going over what the proposed regulations look like?
Sure. It's all in the early stages at this point, but on Wednesday, May 2nd, Governor Walker put out a press release, and he issued orders to the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection and the Department of Natural Resources. For Department of Agriculture, also known as DATCAP, he told them to write two emergency rules. The first would require enhanced or additional fencing at deer farms. Right now, deer farms, at a minimum, have 1 8-foot high tensile wire fence, and the governor's requirement would basically make them build a second 8-foot fence. Hmm. They can also use electric fence or an impermeable wall, but those two options are not the from what I'm hearing, those two options probably wouldn't be what most farms would go for. The second emergency rule that the governor ordered DATCAP to come up with was a ban on deer farms moving live deer from any county where CWD has been detected. So if you've had a deer farm and then they found a CWD detection even in the wild, you would no longer be able to transfer your deer.
So really minimizing what deer farms can do. So if these emergency rules go into effect, what is the timeline for that?
It's kind of hard to say. Emergency rules, from what I've been reading, emergency rules can go into effect within 45 days. And then the emergency rules usually stay in effect for about 150 days. That can be expanded, lengthened, and it also can, they can be made permanent, which I would assume is what the governor is hoping to achieve here. But the I've also heard, you know, people talking about the fall. The DNR, I spoke with DNR Policy Initiatives Policy Director Scott Lumens, and he said they're hoping to have their rules, because the DNR was ordered to ban hunters from transferring deer carcasses after they had shot them from CWD areas. So DNR hopes to have their rule in place by the next hunting season this fall. DATCAP, they haven't really said when they'll be finishing up that process.
How have farmers reacted to the proposal for these emergency rules? What have they said?
They've been very vocal about their opposition to these rules. In a nutshell, so Whitetails of Wisconsin is an industry group that basically represents all the deer farms in the state. They put out a strongly worded press release condemning the governor's proposals and saying that they're ineffective, that it won't stop the spread of CWD. The deer farmers say that this will put perhaps 90% of them out of business. Because the way it was explained to me, the double fencing is extremely expensive. One farm owner I talked to in Jackson County, he's got 600 acres. So the perimeter of his property runs about 4.5 miles. And a ballpark that he gave me is that the fencing costs just about $5 a foot. So right there, that's like over $100,000. And he says that doesn't even include the cost of having to cut trees down and clear a piece of property between the two fences. So that will be expensive. And also for deer breeding facilities, I mean, they exist so that they can raise deer and then sell them to these different hunting preserves or hunting ranches around the state or outside of the state. And if all of a sudden you're not allowed to transport your deer, I mean, that's basically game over, is what I'm hearing.
So how have these groups expressed concerns, you know, to Governor Walker, saying the state would be perhaps willing to help pay for additional fencing? Where does this come in?
Well, when the news broke, I spoke with Scott Getzka, who owns a deer farm that I was talking about in Jackson County. It's a hunting ranch, actually. And he said it's just like when the State Department of Agriculture comes in and, like, say, during the bird flu scare, mm-hmm. there was There were a number of turkey and chicken farms that were quarantined and depopulated, where the state basically, to stop the disease, they killed all the animals. And when they do that, the state is required to pay the farmer and make them whole, or at least, you know, give them something. So he was telling me that the same thing could very well happen in this situation, because if these businesses are forced out, I mean, they can't just open the pen and let the deer go running. That the deer have to be killed, and then, you know, those deer are worth money. So he said that citizens need to be aware that they could be on the hook for, you know, financially to help these deer farmers.
What have the farmers and breeders said about the efficacy of these potential new emergency rules? Do they think it will actually help contain chronic wasting disease?
No, actually they don't. And they were kind of critical of past state initiatives to curb the spread of CWD. They said that the state, in their press release, they said the state has wasted millions of dollars on bad CWD policy. But they say that, you know, they're not the cause of the CWD spread in the state. And if you look at all the positives found outside of deer farms and found inside of deer farms, they seem to have a point. They've found about 250 positives on deer farms since the early 2000s, where it's like three times that, I believe, outside in the wild. So their argument is that they test their animals. They're very careful about it. If any animal dies, they have to test it. You don't do that in the wild. And they also said natural spread of CWD, they keep pointing to things like when a deer dies, you know, birds, all kinds of scavengers eat that animal. And those prions is what we're talking about, are the deformed protein that caused this brain disease in the deer. The animals then spread that around the landscape. So they say if all the deer farms go out of business in the state, CWD will continue to spread.
We're talking right now with Rich Kramer. He's WPR's reporter based in Eau Claire. He's getting us updated on the concerns of deer farmers over perhaps more stringent regulations, a couple emergency rules that would try to control chronic wasting disease. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What are your questions? Are you a deer farmer, a breeder, or a hunter? What do you think of Governor Walker's call for new emergency rules? How do you think the new regulations could affect your business, could affect your hunt? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Rich, has the DNR or DATCAP said how long they would keep the new rules in place once they've written or once they've gone into effect, or anything else about the longevity of these rules?
Not really. Both departments have been playing it pretty close to the vest. But I would assume, I'm just assuming, that the governor's aim here is to have these rules be permanent, because if there's concern about this disease taking over and decimating the deer herd, I would doubt that they would just try something for a little while and then stop. But that has happened in the past, because in the early days of the CWD in Wisconsin, there were efforts to do mass eradication of deer in the southern Wisconsin area, but then people didn't like that, so they kind of changed their tactic. But from what I understand, the deer farmers expect these rules to be permanent.
So in March, deer from a farm in Keewaskum infected with chronic wasting disease, those deer were transported to a farm in Bayfield County. So is there a sense among farmers that we need these tighter restrictions, or that, you know, with instances like this, that these regulations would be able to help in some way?
I haven't heard that from the deer farmer people that I've talked to, because they say, well, that stuff happens, but they're highly regulated. They say that they're the highest regulated, animal livestock kind of industry in the state, and they say when they find these things, they deal with it. They eradicate the herds if they have to, or else they keep close tabs on it. So they don't really see any bright side to the governor's
proposals. Do they have any potential solutions that they would like to put on the table?
They do, actually. The deer farmers say that they've been investing in research, and there was a presentation that I wasn't able to make it to. It was in Black River Falls, or in that area, where they're studying CWD-resistant genetics in deer and elk. So they are saying that that's one possibility. You know, they're saying that science is the answer here, and they argue that they've been willing to help the state with that all throughout the process. But right now they feel like they are being targeted because deer farms aren't necessarily the most popular thing in Wisconsin. A lot of hunters seem to think that it's unfair, you know, to the animals. It's kind of like, you know, shooting fish in a barrel has been mentioned. So they don't have a lot of allies right now. So they just kind of feel like they're under attack, even though they say they're willing and have been working with the state on the CWD issue.
So what's the next step here? How do you see this deer farm development moving forward?
Well, the next step is that, you know, DADCAP has, they're having hearings at the end of this month. There's going to be a public hearing on this emergency rule that they're writing up on June 7th down in Madison. So there are still kicks at the cat here, but the next step is to basically the farmers are waiting to see what the actual language in the emergency rules are, because right now all we have are kind of vague ideas that the governor put out there. The deer farmers see it as a big red flag, but they don't know the details that are written on that red flag.
Rich, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Rich Kramer is WPR's reporter in Eau Claire and the host of The West Side with Rich Kramer. He's been getting us updated on the concerns of deer farmers over more stringent regulations to control chronic wasting disease. Earlier in the hour, we talked with WPR's state capitol reporter Laurel White about the state GOP convention that was held over the weekend. This edition of the State Capitol Report was produced by Colleen Leahy and the Ideas Network Director Cheryl Gasser. Michael Derringer provided technical support. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and the State Capitol Report comes to you here on the Ideas Network.